Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This morning's episode is entitled, Why People Stay in Verbally, Emotionally, and Physically Abusive Relationships. And so I'm going to be doing at least 2 to 3 shows on this topic because it is so pervasive. Within the community of the elect of God. And after I deal with this topic, I'm going to be taking a look at the topic of pornography and what it does to families. And mind you, I am speaking about families within the community of the believing ones. And so, as a foundation for this morning's show, I'm going to be reading from Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, which reads, "Hold on to instruction, do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot in the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it, do not travel on it, turn from it and go your own way. They cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a person's whole body." The Hebrew word here for health is marpe, which means healing or cure. And health to a person's whole body. Verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart. The Hebrew means literally to watch over your heart, for it is the wellspring or source of life. And this is cogent advice. It is not really advice as you can, if you would read the verses, you would see that the words that are given here have to do with one's essential being or existence. Verse 13 reads, "Hold on to instruction, do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life." Now, it is very interesting that people are not given the type of training that they need to have in order to understand different personalities that they will encounter in life. And so this morning we're going to talk about a particular relationship dynamic. We will be speaking about the abuser and the abused person. We will be speaking about the abuser and the victim of certain types of abuse. Now, most of my counseling career has been spent or involved with persons who were victims of early childhood sexual abuse. And here again, we're dealing with an unequal power dynamic or an imbalance of power. And so my book, Naming the Incubus, which is available on Amazon, deals with this frightening topic because I have found, I wrote this book several years ago, that that childhood sexual abuse is growing. And that is very unfortunate. It is growing. And there are issues that continue to grow also with domestic violence. So much so that there are no accurate statistics on what is going on in the fragmented homes, as it were, today. There's so much going on in the lives of individuals today. But coming back to our topic, my emphasis this morning is on why. Why do people stay in verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive relationships? The writer to the book of Proverbs, the writer states in verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. I'd like to bring to your attention a book. It's an older book entitled In Sheep's Clothing, Understanding and Dealing with Manipulative People. The author is George K. Simon, Jr., Ph.D. George K. Simon, Jr., Ph.D. The book is entitled In Sheep's Clothing, Understanding and Dealing with Manipulative People. And the chapters are very interesting because he, for instance, in part one, it reads Understanding Manipulative Personalities. The introduction deals with covert aggression, the heart of manipulation, covert aggression. Now, in Proverbs 4:23, we read, above all else, guard your heart. And so this particular writer, that is George Simpson, writes about the covert aggressive personality, the heart of manipulation. And then he goes on to discuss aggressive and covert aggressive personalities, chapter one, the determination to win, chapter two, the unbridled quest for power, chapter three, chapter four, the penchant for deception and seduction, chapter five, dirty fighting, chapter six, the impaired conscience, chapter seven, abusive, manipulative relationships. And in chapter eight, he deals with the manipulative child. And part two is entitled Dealing Effectively with Manipulative People. And chapter nine is entitled Recognizing the Tactics of Manipulation and Control. Chapter 10 is entitled Redefining the Terms of Engagement. And then chapter 11 is the epilogue, entitled Undisciplined Aggression in a Permissive Society. This book would be well worth reading. Now, I wanted to call your attention to this particular book because he deals in great detail with what I'm going to be discussing today. So I have some information that I got off the website of a company entitled Weave Inc. W-E-A-V-E. Weave Inc. And so this is what I got from them. And it is on traumatic bonding. And it reads, traumatic bonding is the development of strong emotional ties between two persons, with one person intermittently harassing, threatening, and abusing or intimidating the other. Traumatic bonding includes two common features. One, the existence of a power imbalance where the victim perceives him, herself, as dominated by the other person. And two, the intermittent nature of the abuse. Now, if you attempt to speak with persons who are in these very unsafe relationships, very destructive relationships, you might be told, well, everything is okay, everything is all right. And it's not as bad as you think. He is or she is really a good person. Now, you can see the truth because you're looking at it from an objective, albeit prejudiced perspective. But the individual who is immersed and involved in this relationship, as it were, cannot because of the intense emotional investment. Unequal power relationships become increasingly imbalanced over time. As power imbalance magnifies, the victim feels more negative about themselves, more incapable of protecting themselves, and increasingly dependent on the abuser. The cycle of dependency results in a strong emotional bond to the abuser. This is real, this is true, and this is a fact. Now, the victim may have met the, or upon meeting the abuser through some dating service, some online dating service, or what have you, may have initially thought this was a very charming and winsome person, and this person was emotionally open. And so this particular personality or person was unaware and was not serious about guarding his or her own heart. And so therefore, did not take seriously any warning of opportunistic predators who prey upon the naive. And these persons may not seriously believe that there are such individuals out there who deliberately plan to deceive. And this is very dangerous. And so Proverbs is called wisdom, is part of the wisdom literature of the Bible. Above all else, note the emphasis. Above all else, guard your heart. For it is, notice the, it is the source of life. So, now in the Hebrew it reads, some versions read, guard your heart with all diligence. And the Hebrew word is mishmar, which means a place of confinement or prison. The word guard in Hebrew is shamar, and it means to keep watch. Given in the Cal imperative in Hebrew, which Cal is a simple active in Hebrew, is given in the imperative. Above all else, guard. The verb guard occurs at the beginning of the sentence in order to indicate its emphasis or significance within the syntactic structure of the declarative statement. Guard your heart. It is the source of life. The individual victim may say to you, well, when I met so-and-so, he or she took my breath away. And over time, this may quite possibly happen. It may be very real. Because the life of the person is his or her breath. Ruach is a term for breath in Hebrew. Ruach. And when we say the Spirit of God in Genesis 1, we say Ruach Elohim. And so these type of manipulative, covert aggressive personalities will take your ruach away, will take your breath away, literally. That is your life. They will take away the individual's life. This is a very dangerous reality. And so, but notice what else goes on. In abusive relationships of any nature, physical abuse is random and often occurs between periods of nonviolent and affectionate contact, which reinforces the traumatic bonding. So the victim individual may be beaten by the abuser, but then the abuser will go out and buy candy and flowers, will be sweet and affectionate, and relive the how he won the person over in the first place. And then that individual will respond positively to reinforcing behavior of the abuser. See, the abuser knows exactly what he or she is doing. They know which buttons to push. They know exactly what to say in order to keep the abused one in bondage. In other words, to keep the individual trapped. So if you would go on to Leave Inc.'s website, you will have access to a tool entitled Cycle of Violence. When I worked with a a local organization here where I live did counseling for persons of sexual, who were victims of sexual abuse and incest. We use this tool, and it's called the cycle of violence. And so the cycle of violence is used in educating individuals about domestic violence, and it provides an example of the intermittent abuse, and it talks of intermittent abuse. It speaks about how the phases are unpredictable in terms of length of each phase, which keeps the victim off balance in hopes of change. There is, of course, the false honeymoon phase, where affection and promises of change are common, and this creates a temporary calm and reinforces the traumatic bonding. This is a very serious spiritual condition. And let me say at this point that if you know of an individual who is in such a relationship, your well-meaning words may not work. But if you can, person is open to you, please invite that person to get help. Because, as I said, the life of the individual is at stake. I want to read to you about an individual named Janice. So, and this is from In Sheep's Clothing by George Casey Simon. This is chapter 7. Covert aggressors use a variety of ploys to keep their partners in a subordinate position in relationships. Of course, it takes two people to make a relationship work, and each party must assume responsibility for their own behavior. But covert aggressors are often so expert at exploiting the weaknesses and emotional insecurities of others that almost anyone can be duped. Persons in abusive relationships with covert aggressors are often initially seduced by their smooth-talking, outwardly charming ways. By the time they realize their partner's true character, they've usually put a significant emotional investment into trying to make the relationship work. This makes it very hard to simply walk away. Janice felt guilty for what she was about to do. Now notice the language. She felt guilty. She'd been feeling guilty for a few days. She was going to leave Bill. She had no plans to divorce him, but she wanted the time and the personal space to sort things out. She wouldn't be able to think clearly if she stayed in the same house with him, so she decided to get away for a while. While she was out of town visiting her sister, Janice realized just what a relief it was to be away from so many of the usual family conflicts. It wasn't that she hated helping her twice divorced daughter raise her father's child. It wasn't that she wanted to abandon her son who, after dropping out of college and getting fired from another job, needed a place to stay. She always seemed to be giving just to make things work. Now drained and tired, she needed to do something for herself. She was relieved, but as always, feeling guilty. Mostly, Janice was feeling guilty about leaving Bill. She's heard him talk about the pressure he was under at work. Janice felt most guilty when she thought about what might happen to Bill if she left for good. And so, despite her usual guilt, Janice thought that this time it would be different. This man, Bill, manipulated her into believing that he was going to go get counseling for his condition, for his behavior, for his problem. And so she was convinced that this time it would be different. This time Bill, that he understood, he said that before, but now he was sounding more sincere. He told her that if she needed some time to herself, she should take it. After all, he still loved her. He told her not to worry, that problems were mounting at work, that the kids seemed to be needing a lot of attention, or that he'd had episodes of heavy drinking again. He understood that she needed to look after herself. Maybe, he told her, she would find herself missing him as much as she was already starting to miss her. At first, with the idea of moving into an apartment in the Superior, Janice barely had time to think about Bill or kids. Bill didn't call much at first, just as he said he wouldn't. He explained that the only reason he'd been calling more frequently lately was because he knew she would want to know what was happening with the kids. This last call, Bill's voice sounded shaky and his speech a little slurred as he told Janice not to worry about him, just temptations to dream or the possibility that he might be losing his job soon. He insisted he was handling the deep pain of their separation and the problems with their children as best as anyone could, all by himself. Within a few weeks, Janice was feeling very guilty. The day the call came from the hospital, Janice was so confused. An overdose, she asked herself, how can I possibly feel angry about someone taking an overdose? Unsure about the legitimacy of her anger, she eventually became mired in guilt and shame. When Janice got the call from the hospital, she initially felt angry. She didn't understand why. However, her gut was telling her she was being abused, but Bill hadn't done anything overtly cruel to her. If she didn't grant legitimacy to her feelings, her anger was soon overshadowed by her customary feelings of guilt. As a result, she came to see Bill only as a victim, not a manipulator. As she goes back for more of the same, her guilt will pass. The feelings of frustration and sadness will soon rise. It's an endless, vicious cycle that she's been through many times. Bill uses the tactic of playing the victim with consummate precision. He knows how to engender sympathy and invite others to feel like a bad guy for deserting him in his hour of need. Janice has all of the right personality characteristics to fall for this tactic, hook, line, and sinker. She hates to think of herself as the bad guy. She doesn't like to. In fact, she's one of those caretakers who's much more concerned about what everyone else's welfare, about everyone else's welfare, than her own. When she thinks she's being selfish, she's riddled with guilt and shame. So when Bill combines the tactics of playing the victim with guilt tripping and shaming, Janice is ready to take the fall. We will continue this discussion on our next show. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and have a wonderful day. God bless you.